Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking, well, a shortcut, straight into Japanese culture, hidden on just a few small cards. We're focusing on the mei suit in the traditional Hanafuda deck, specifically the iris or ayame, sometimes shubu.
Right, and there's a neat paradox here for you right away. Hanafuda cards, they work as a game, sure, but also as this kind of cultural calendar. The mei suit shows this perfectly. You've got this one card, the iris and the bridge. Visually, it's probably the most detailed one in the suit.
Right.
But in the game, it's only a 10-point tame card that's sort of mid-tier, an animal card technically. Relatively low game value.
So its real importance isn't the points.
Exactly. Right. Its true worth is, well, it's like this tiny visual storehouse for Japanese literature and history.
Okay, let's unpack that specific card then. The iris and bridge, Yatsuhashi ni Kakitsubata. You're saying this isn't just a nice picture of a marsh.
Yeah.
How does this image manage to capture a moment from classic literature?
Yeah, it's basically a direct visual quote. It comes straight from one of Japan's most respected literary works, The Tale of Eyes, the Eyes Monogatari. We're talking 10th, maybe 11th century.
Well, that far back.
Oh, yeah. And in the ninth section of that tale, the hero, most people think it's the poet Ariwara no Narihira, he stops at this marshy place called Yatsuhashi. Means eight bridges, and he sees these irises blooming, and they just strike him. So he composes this, well, famous acrostic poem right there.
Yeah.
Using the syllables of the flower's name, Kakitsubata.
I see. So the card freezes that exact literary moment, the poem's inspiration. And that scene, that image, it became so iconic that later artists like Ogata Kurin, you know, with this famous screen.
Right, the iris script.
He could just paint these incredibly stylized irises, leave out the bridge entirely,
yeah.
And people still got the reference. They knew it meant the tale of eyes.
Precisely. The flower itself became the cultural shorthand for that whole aesthetic, that whole story.
Okay, so the card gives us the full picture, the narrative context.
Mm-hmm.
But the iris itself, the flower, it carries this other meaning, doesn't it? Something less visual, more symbolic. Why is it also tied to, like, samurai courage and strength in Japan?
That connection, it all hinges on language. It's a really powerful linguistic link. You see, the Japanese word for this specific type of iris is shubu, o, and that sounds exactly the same. It's a perfect homophone for shubu. Which means martial courage or warrior spirit. That linguistic coincidence, that accident of sound, basically cemented the flower's identity in that context.
That's fascinating. Just a sound-alike word. Mm-hmm. And I guess the look of the flower helps, too.
It does, yeah. The long, sharp, pointed leaves of the iris, they really do look quite a bit like sword blades.
Oh, right.
So that visual similarity just reinforced the idea of the iris as the samurai's flower. It came to symbolize masculine virtues, health, strength, that kind of thing.
So let me get this straight. You have this ancient court ritual, Tango no Seku, the festival on the fifth day of the fifth month. And the rising warrior class during the Kamakura period, they basically took it over, rebranded it using that shubu homophone connection.
That's pretty much it. It started as a, you know, a seasonal purification ritual at court. But with the rise of the samurai and that handy homophone, it got reinterpreted. It became Boys' Day, a celebration for boys. Families would put out warrior dolls, miniature armor.
And the iris rituals?
Yes, especially things like shubuyu, iris baths, putting the leaves in bath water. It was all about wishing health and courage upon their sons. And the Hanafuda cards, which really spread during the Edo period, they helped carry these ideas and traditions throughout society.
It's amazing how layered that is. Now, to really appreciate how culturally specific this Japanese meaning is, maybe you can look elsewhere briefly. How does Korea view the same flower, the iris? Similar?
It's actually a fascinating contrast. Really highlights the cultural construction of meaning. In Korea, the iris tends to symbolize things like hope, faith, wisdom. It's often connected in mythology to a goddess of spring. So the meaning is much more spiritual, maybe life-affirming. There's no martial connection at all.
None. Wow.
None whatsoever. It just shows, doesn't it? The meaning of a natural object isn't universal. It's shaped by very specific things, like Japan's unique linguistic situation with the homophone or Korea's particular mythology with the spring goddess.
What a fantastic deep dive. So the mei iris suit, these four little cards, they're like a compact cultural compass pointing to high literature, linguistics, history, warrior traditions, all packed in there.
Exactly. And, you know, it makes you think, if the Japanese iris got its meaning heavily from its sound, that shubu for martial spirit, and the Korean iris from its myth, its story of spring and hope. What about today? What modern object, maybe something we use just for fun, for entertainment, is acting like a secret repository for our culture's defining stories or linguistic quirks? What important stuff are we saving right there in plain sight, maybe without even realizing it?